The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Texts Number 23 and 24. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on June 18th, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So today we are again reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Texts 23 and 24. Today, we'll be studying the third and fourth items out of the nine items of bhakti, Navavidha bhakti. Smaranam and Padasevanam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno. Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyamatma Nivedanam Shri Prarada Uvacha Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord as one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him. In other words, serving Him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Items 3 and 4 from the purport. 3. Smaranam. After one regularly performs the process of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, smaranam, remembering, is recommended. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, Etan nirvidyamanam ichitam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harer namanukirtanam. O King, for great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. According to different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are varieties of namanukirtanam, chanting of the holy name, and thus according to different relationships and mellows, there are five kinds of remembering. These are as follows. A. Conducting research into the worship of a particular form of the Lord. B. Concentrating the mind on one subject and withdrawing the mind's activities of thinking, feeling, and willing from all other subjects. C. Concentrating on a particular form of the Lord. This is called meditation. D. Concentrating one's mind continuously on the form of the Lord. This is called dravanusmriti, or perfect meditation. And E. Awakening a likening for concentration upon a particular form. This is called samadhi or trance. Mental concentration upon particular pastimes of the Lord In particular, circumstances is also called remembrance. Therefore, samadhi trance can be possible in five different ways in terms of one's relationship. Specifically, the trance of devotees on the stage of neutrality is called mental concentration. Item number 4, Padasevanam. According to one's taste and strength, hearing, chanting, and remembrance may be followed by Padasevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to the thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called Padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of Padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or the temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Jamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadiya Upasanam. This is also Padasevanam. The word Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Jamuna are included in Padasevanam. All these processes of Padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Ragana Tanvita Tam Sajiva. Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasham Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Such a sweet, sweet process, the Bhakti Yoga process. There are so many ways to connect with Krishna. If we can simply grab any one of these ways, our lives will become perfect. Of course, the foundation is this hearing process and chanting. First we must hear, and then we can chant. But it's interesting to know that it is stated that the process actually begins with the tongue, chanting. So even though it is stated here, the shravanam is first, it is also stated elsewhere that chanting comes first. But still, that chanting is dependent upon the hearing. So to this process of connecting with Krishna through the hearing, the chanting, the remembering, etc., we regain our original identity as transcendentalists. We are not mundaners by nature. This mundane consciousness is simply a covering, it's a cloud, it's not the actual self. By coming in contact with any one of these nine processes in the association of pure devotees, then we become reinstated in our original identities as servants of Krishna. And when we become actually mature in that relationship, completely surrendered to our spiritual master and to Krishna, then our actual specific svarup will become revealed to us. We should be patiently executing the process of sadhana bhakti. And then that day will come when we'll fully realize our original identity, our original rasa in the spiritual sky. So, how we serve Krishna makes a big difference. Do we serve Krishna begrudgingly? Or do we serve Krishna with love? This makes all the difference in the world. Because if we can serve Krishna with love, then immediately we become situated in transcendental consciousness. But if we serve Krishna begrudgingly, then we are simply dragging ourselves slowly, 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 slowly along bhakti marg. So this trying to serve with enthusiasm, with loving feeling, this is very, very important thing. Because this immediately brings us into the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. Immediately. This was the potency of Srila Prabhupada, that he had such, he was totally immersed in love of Krishna 24/7, just relishing like anything that mood of loving service to Krishna. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, to be loving Krishna and loving it. Actually, Krishna consciousness really means, McDonald's now has come up with this saying, I'm loving it. But actually that's the real position. If we're really Krishna conscious, then I'm loving it. You see, I'm loving every minute of it. That's the real Krishna consciousness. So if I'm not loving it at every minute, if I'm feeling like it's a burden, then at least I should understand it's a burden of love. You see? In other words, we have to, even if it's a burden, we should learn how to relish the burden. Even if it's a struggle, we should learn how to relish that struggle. Not that, oh, it's no good, it's a struggle. No good. It's a struggle. Why am I doing this? It's too much of a struggle. No. We should embrace the struggle. And that Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, they have blessed us with this wonderful, wonderful process. Even if it may be a struggle, that's all right. I embrace that struggle. Look at any successful person in this world. They relished that struggle. They took it with great enthusiasm. Someone who climbs Mount Everest, someone who becomes a multi-millionaire, you see. They struggle to achieve that goal, but they relish that struggle. They become excited, enlivened, and enthused by the challenge of becoming successful in whatever field they choose. So in the same way, we should become enlivened, challenged, and enthused to conquer over these enemies, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, and come to the ultimate success, you see. Why waste one's time with tiddlywink success? When you can focus on awakening the divine consciousness within, that Krishna consciousness, and achieve a success greater than the demigods, greater than Brahmaji. Of course, I'm speaking of a non-devotee Brahmaji. Our Brahmaji is a pure devotee. But to be in that position of Brahmaji, you see, that's the point I'm making. That is not, even though it may be the most successful position within this material existence, it is not success. Brahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna mam upechra konteya punarjanmana vidyate. Wherever you may be, whatever position you may have in this material existence, I don't care how so-called successful you are, it is simply failure. Simply failure. But if one comes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes the most successful person in the history of existence, the most successful person. So if we take advantage of this sublime science of Krishna consciousness. It is science, actually. It is not a matter of religious faith that because I believe in Krishna, therefore I chant Hare Krishna. Of course, that's nice. That bhakti is nice, but it must be combined with knowledge. Bhakti Vedanta. You see? It's very important that we understand it as a science. Why? Because if I simply have faith, but I have no scientific understanding, then I can leave easily Krishna consciousness. It's like sometimes people leave. It means they had some sentiment which brought them here. They practiced for some time with some enthusiasm. And because they did not have scientific understanding of what they were doing, therefore, when their sentiments, the wind of sentiment blew in the opposite direction, they followed that wind of sentiment. But if one understands the science of bhakti very solidly, very philosophically understand the science of bhakti, then it doesn't matter which way the wind blows, you'll never leave Krishna consciousness. So it's very important we understand it as a science. It is scientific. Just like, and I remember in high school, our chemistry class, and they taught us H2O equals water. Okay, that's a matter of faith. I'm writing it down in my notebook. The teacher said H2O equals water, you see. I put faith in my teacher. All right, but then the teacher said, now, tomorrow, students, we will go to the laboratory. So we went there and we actually did it. Each student, I remember that day when I did it and I went, wow, this is really something. I took two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, and lo and behold, what was there in my test tube? Water. This is real. It's not just faith in the words of the teacher. You can actually do it. You can experience it. You can taste it. You see. So Krishna consciousness is like that. We put our faith in the words of the teacher, in the words of the spiritual master. But we actually have that tangible experience ourselves. That is the difference between jnana and vijnana. We actually have that tangible experience ourselves. And when we become very advanced in the science, we will see Krishna face to face. We will see Krishna. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that is the, so scientifically, the devotee, he realizes God directly. He has direct experience of God. So Krishna consciousness means you become qualified to see God face to face and become His personal intimate associate. That is Krishna consciousness. Not some simply some religious faith. It is the science of reconnecting oneself the Supreme Person who is the source of all existence, that all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all-knowledgeable and all-famous personality who is confirmed by all the great sages as being none other than Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Everyone has clearly understood the science, beyond any shadow of a doubt. There's no confusion, delusion, illusion. Everything's crystal clear. The pathway is wide open now. All the anartas have been put aside. Yes?
When Lord Brahma had just poured water on Hiranyakasipu's head and he became youthful, powerful, and he was offering prayers to Lord Brahma, and he was saying things like, "You are the super soul, you are."
Hiranyakashipu was praying to him like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was using words, was he mistaking him for God, or is Lord Brahma like that in this universe?
He was saying, telling him, "You are the super soul."
Yes.
Why was he saying that? Was he flattering him, trying to get more water, get more power? You can't take Hiranyakashipu. If he was an authority, he was highly motivated. He wanted to become like God. So you're asking, why did Hiranyakashipu say that? What is your question? Oh, you're wondering, is Brahma at everyone's heart? I've never read that he is. Of course, we have understood from the revealed scriptures that he is aware of everything. That's why he has four heads. He is, in one sense, he's not, from what we understood in the scripture, he is omniscient but not omnipresent. Because this, and we know that one Leela, you know, where all the Brahmas came, some had four heads. Our Brahma had four heads, some had 40, some 400, some 1,000, some 40,000, some 400,000, some 4 million, etc. For the bigger universes. This universe. If someone asks you, where are you from? You say, I'm from the Chaturmukhi universe. Chaturmukhi Brahma universe, that's where I'm from. That's the particular universe we're from. That's our address within the material existence. We're from Chaturmukhi Brahma universe. Because our universe is very tiny here. Brahma has only four heads. That's all he needs to see everything that's going on everywhere. And in every place, even within your heart, he can see all of it. In that sense, Brahma's in love. Not that he's physically there, but he's aware of what's there within your mind. He knows everything that's going on here. He's omniscient within this universe. That's about it. But I'm not omnipresent like the super soul. Just omniscient. Any other questions? Okay then. Let's roll. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.